Chapter 13. The Netherlands and Scandinavia. In the Netherlands, the tyranny of Rome drew a protest very early. 700 years before Luther, two bishops fearlessly denounced the Pope after being sent as envoys to Rome, where they had learned the true character of the Holy See. "You set up yourself in the temple of God. Instead of a pastor, you have become a wolf to the sheep. While you ought to be a servant of servants, as you call yourself, you try to become a lord of lords. You bring the commands of God into contempt." Over the centuries, others rose up to echo this protest. They translated the Waldensian Bible into the Dutch language. They declared that there was great benefit in it. No jokes, no fables, no meaningless talk, no lies, but the words of truth. This is what the friends of the ancient faith wrote in the 12th century. Then Rome's persecutions began, but the believers continued to multiply, declaring that the Bible is the only infallible authority in religion, and that no one should be forced to believe, but should be won by preaching. The teachings of Luther found earnest and faithful men in the Netherlands to preach the gospel. Menno Simons, educated as a Roman Catholic and ordained to the priesthood, was completely ignorant of the Bible and would not read it because he was afraid it was heresy. He tried to silence the voice of his conscience by ungodly living, but he did not succeed. After a while, he was led to the study of the New Testament. Along with Luther's writings, this caused him to accept the Reformed faith. Soon afterward, he saw a man put to death for having been rebaptized. This led him to study the Bible regarding infant baptism. He saw that repentance and faith are required as the condition of baptism. Menno left the Catholic Church and devoted his life to teaching the truths he had received. In both Germany and the Netherlands, a class of fanatics had emerged, offending public order and decency, and leading toward revolt against government. Menno strongly opposed the false teachings and wild schemes of the fanatics. For 25 years he traveled across the Netherlands and northern Germany, exerting a widespread influence, demonstrating in his own life the principles he taught. He was a man of integrity, humble and gentle, sincere and earnest. Many people were converted through his work. In Germany, Emperor Charles V had banned the Reformation, but the princes restrained his tyranny. In the Netherlands, his power was greater, and persecuting decrees followed one another in quick succession. "To read the Bible, to hear or preach it, to pray to God in secret, to refrain from bowing to an image, to sing a psalm, all of these things were punishable by death." Thousands were killed under Charles and Philip II. At one time, a whole family was brought before the inquisitors, charged with remaining away from Mass and worshipping at home. The youngest son answered, "We fall on our knees and pray that God may enlighten our minds and pardon our sins. We pray for our king, that his reign may be prosperous and his life happy. We pray for our officials, that God may preserve them." The father and one of his sons were condemned to the stake. Not only men, but women and young girls displayed unflinching courage. Wives would stand by their husband's stake, and while he was enduring the fire, they would whisper words of comfort or sing psalms to cheer him. Young girls, condemned to be buried alive, would lie down in their living grave as if they were going to their room for nightly sleep. Others would go out to the scaffold in the fire, dressed in their best clothes, as if they were going to their marriage. Persecution increased the number of witnesses for truth. Year after year, the emperor urged on his cruel work, but he did not succeed in stamping out the Reformation. William of Orange finally brought the freedom to worship God to Holland. Reformation in Denmark. The gospel made a peaceful entrance into the countries of the north. Students at Wittenberg, returning home, carried the Reformed faith to Scandinavia. Luther's writings also spread the light. The hardy people of the north turned from Rome's corruption and superstitions to welcome the life-giving truths of the Bible. Even as a child, Tausen, the reformer of Denmark, showed that he had a bright mind, and he entered a monastery. Examination revealed that he had talent that promised to be very helpful to the church. The young student was given permission to choose a university in Germany or the Netherlands for himself, with one condition: he must not go to Wittenberg with its dangerous heresy. This is what the friars decreed. Tausen went to Cologne, one of the strongholds of Catholicism. He soon became disgusted with the mystical teachings there. About the same time, he read Luther's writings with joy, and he longed to experience the personal instruction of the reformer. But if he did so, he would risk losing his superior support. He soon made his decision, and before long he was a student at Wittenberg. When Tausen returned to Denmark, he did not reveal his secret, but tried to lead his friends to a purer faith. He opened the Bible and preached Christ to them as the sinner's only hope of salvation. His supervisor at the monastery, who had high hopes for him as a defender of Rome, became very angry. He removed Tausen immediately from his own monastery, put him in another, and confined him to his cell. Through the bars of his cell, Tausen shared a knowledge of the truth with his companions. If those Danish fathers had been skilled in the church's plan for dealing with heresy, Tausen would never have been heard from again. But instead of confining him in some underground dungeon, they expelled him from the monastery. A royal decree, just issued, offered protection to the teachers of the new doctrine. Tausen found the churches open to him, and the people crowded in to listen. The New Testament in Danish was widely circulated. Efforts to overthrow the work resulted in extending it, and before long, Denmark declared that it had accepted the Reformed faith. Progress in Sweden. In Sweden also, young men from Wittenberg brought the water of life to their countrymen. Two leaders in the Swedish Reformation, Olaf and Laurentius Petri, studied under Luther and Melanchthon. Like the great reformer, Olaf captivated the people by his eloquence, while Laurentius, like Melanchthon, was thoughtful and calm. Both had unflinching courage. The Catholic priests stirred up the ignorant and superstitious people. Several times, Olaf Petri barely escaped with his life. However, these reformers did have the protection of the king, who was committed to having a reformation, and welcomed these talented helpers in the battle against Rome. In the presence of the king and leading men of Sweden, Olaf Petri defended the Reformed faith with great ability. He declared that Christians should accept the teachings of the church fathers only when they agree with Scripture, and that the Bible presents the essential doctrines of the faith in a clear manner, so that everyone can understand them. These events show us the sort of men that belonged to the army of the reformers. They were not illiterate, narrow-minded, noisy people who loved to argue. Far from it. They were men who had studied the Word of God and knew well how to use the weapons that the Bible's armory supplied to them. They were scholars and theologians, men who thoroughly mastered the whole system of gospel truth, and who could win an easy victory over the false reasoners of the schools and the dignitaries of Rome. The King of Sweden accepted the Protestant faith, and the National Assembly voted in its favor. At the request of the king, the two brothers took on the task of translating the whole Bible. The assembly ordered that throughout the kingdom, ministers should explain the scriptures, and that the children in the schools should be taught to read the Bible. Freed from Rome's oppression, the nation achieved a strength and greatness it had never before reached. A century later, this previously feeble nation came to the deliverance of Germany in the terrible struggle of the Thirty Years' War, the only country in Europe that dared to lend a helping hand. All of Northern Europe seemed about to be brought again under Rome's tyranny. The armies of Sweden, however, enabled Germany to win toleration for Protestants and to restore liberty of conscience to those countries that had accepted the Reformation.